Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to talk about a very important but challenging topic, the whole understanding of God's judgments. The scripture is clear that God at times intervenes in human history after long periods of time of mercy, extending his mercy in very explicit and very consistent and visible ways, calling people out of sin, out of corruption, and calling them into relationship with God. Lord, in his mercy, wants to forgive sin. He comes to save. That's his fundamental disposition. God loves his creation. He loves everybody that bears his image and likeness. He has set forth his Son into the world to become the Savior of the world, for God so loved the world. So God's whole heart is, everything he does is initiated and carried out in love to save. Now, lots of people, you know, lots of people in the world today, especially in a country like ours, it seems you hear it more and more, with all the prosperity and all the security and comfort and all the kind of bold pride, you know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, as the scripture talks about the world. It's interesting, one of the readings this week from James, which the church gives us in the daily readings at Mass today, is to say, you know, that friendship with the world is enmity with God. If you're a friend of the world, you're God's enemy. What does he mean? What's he saying? He's talking about the fallen dimension of this world that we inhabit. And it doesn't take much for us to be able to see it. The deep political corruption, social corruption, cultural perversion, you know, the openness and celebrations of sin, the massive greed that's present, the huge divide between those who have and those who don't, the forgetting of the poor, you name it. Just so many things that God does not like. The destruction of marriage, the killing of innocents, wars, these kinds of things that are present in a fallen world. And John the Apostle talks about the world, warns us about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is what? The covetousness, the seeking to please my flesh. In whatever way that might be, we initially think about sexual sin. Well, that's certainly part of it, but also covetousness. I'm coveting. I want to possess and to have. I want whatever makes me feel good. I want it. I'm going to get it, kind of whatever the cost. And then the lust of the eyes, which is all that glitters. You know, I want to see, I want to have the gold and what glitters and the bling and the possessions and the influence and the hot cars and the best seats in places, all of that. And then thirdly, the pride of life. And the pride of life, the idea that I want recognition. I want people to see me. I want to be first. These kinds of things. This is so powerful in the world. Constant talk about it. And there's tremendous drive to get it, to possess it. I was just reading, listening to an audio book on a very well-written book that talks about the cheating on Wall Street that goes on, insider trading, and how many people actually do it. And the whole list, they're looking at cases that were done and the people that got caught and how widespread it all is. And it's just fundamentally greed, pride and competition. It's the flesh, it's covetousness, it's all that stuff. So that's the point. That's what John is getting at. That's what James is getting at. That's what Peter gets at, to say friendship with this dimension of the world is going to lead you to death and make you God's enemy. You're helping the kingdom of darkness when you're living under the power, that power of the fallen world, which is in the hands of the enemy. And he's manipulating it, and he might be delivering you. Remember the promise he gave to Jesus in the desert? He took Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, look at the whole world. Look at all the kingdoms of the earth. They're mine. I can give them to you. And guess what? He can. The devil can make a way for you and me to just drink in the world and become super powerful, super influential. If he knows, he'll resist those who have God's heart. But lots of people are immature, they're not converted, but caught in the grip of the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil loves to promote that and to help people get more and more enslaved and get people in position who don't know how to handle it because he can cause all, the enemy can cause all kinds of corruption at that point. So as we're talking about the reality of God's judgments, the Lord has to intervene when huge numbers of people are caught up in the energy of the fallen world. And we're not following the command of the Lord, and we're not following the footsteps of the saints, like St. Francis, who said, you know, at one point he's writing about, the brothers had asked him later in his life, you know, before he died, to tell them and put down in writing what actually happened at the very beginning of your call, Francis. And at one point, as he was speaking to one of the brothers who was a scribe for him, he said, well, at the beginning, the Lord brought me to the lepers, you know, the leper colony, which nobody wanted to go near. And then he said, and they made me sick. And he was so repulsed by them and sick, and his flesh was just convulsing against it. And he said, if you read what he had to say about it, he was not happy with himself. And he was ashamed in some way of himself, that he couldn't even be around those people. And then he said, then the Lord made them sweet to me. So the Lord wanted him to be able to love those people, to go to them. And the Lord knew his heart, and he wanted to do the will of God, and the Lord made them sweet to him, and he went back to them, and he loved them, and he lived with them. But then he said this. He said, then I tarried for a while, then I left the world. Now, who's had a bigger impact on the world than Francis? St. Francis. He's a man who's in the world, but not of the world. And too many baptized people, look at every kind of statistic that's out there. So many of the baptized, a ridiculous percentage of the baptized, are in the world and of the world, very worldly. So we act worldly. And you say, why are people leaving the church? Because right now, so many people, you know, one of the big reasons is that the Lord's permitting it to happen, because it's not good for people who are in the church on their own terms, living worldly lives, essentially unconverted, thinking they're in a good place in the church. And sometimes, and I think for a long period of time, the preaching of the church has not been effective in helping convince and convict human hearts that the habit patterns of sin, that the decisions we're making, that were serious. And people come to the church on their own terms. You know, I'll come once a month, every, you know, all kinds of ways in which people are just tangentially connected to the church and are essentially living unconverted lives. Their minds are not transformed, and they're lukewarm. And their light has gone dim, their salt has gone flat. And the Lord needs to deal with that. If the preaching of the church, which, you know, Paul says to the preachers, teachers, first of all, he said, don't aspire to be a preacher or teacher if you're not going to get the job done, if you're not going to be faithful to it. And then he says to them, basically, don't be afraid, don't be timid, but instead, you know, do the work of an evangelist, convince people, rebuke people, exhort people. That's the language that he used, because that's exactly what Jesus did. And when we apply the word of God that way, by wielding the sword surgically to congregations and people, people get led to repent. But there, so many in the church are afraid to do that today, and in churches around the country, in particular, in prosperity gospels and other things, it's just God wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Or I'm going to not talk about difficult things that come up in the readings of God's judgments, his discipline, and the convicting that the Lord wants to do, because people aren't going to like that. People don't want to hear that. Or people may not come back, or they're not going to give financially and support the parish. Or they're just going to get mad at me and I don't want conflict. So when the church's message gets dull and the knife is no longer sharp, instead of it being a very sharp, razor-sharp knife, that helps us get clear on what is like light and what is darkness, and to cut away from us things we're attached to that are hurting us, it becomes a dull butter knife. And it just can't cut out anything, because the message is not anointed with the power of God proclaiming the clear truth that brings conviction to the human heart. And as a result, friends, we don't come to terms with our sin. That dulls our mind. It makes us lukewarm. It dulls our spirit. Then all the wonderful things God wants to give us in our relationship with him, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all of that, to grow in those things that give us affection for the Lord, a deep love, and opens our eyes to the amazing treasure that the Lord is. And when that happens, the human heart is able to let go of things that seemed impossible to let go of at one time. And we freely do it because the Lord increases our love and we see the extraordinary gift of our relationship with Him. And we don't want to do anything that would offend Him. And we're living from Him. We understand our own suffering differently. And it's a transformed situation. But if the preaching isn't there, people's spirits are dull, their minds are darkened, and it gets really bad and become worldly, and we can't produce any fruit because we're not abiding in the Lord, and we're easily deceived because we care more about what the world is saying to us and about us than what God says about us and what He's saying to us. So we begin to live like fools. Like Psalm 14 says, you know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're all corrupt. They do abominable deeds, and there is none that does good. We begin to live like fools. And there's nothing more foolish than to live a life that opposes the will of God, or to live a life in such a way that you live as if God doesn't even exist. Or you get really, really under judgment like we are now. We actually think we're the origin of our own identity and our own meaning and all the rest of it. That's insane. It's absolutely insane. I didn't bring myself into being. I don't define what it means to be human. And so the major battle and foolishness that's going on is already the encroachment of God's judgment. Jeremiah 2 verse 19 says this, your wickedness will chasten you and your apostasy will reprove you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. The fear of me is not in you. Fear of God, friends, I still have that booklet available. You can get it for free at the end of the program here. Fear of the Lord is such a precious gift. It helps us remain sane at difficult times. It's such a key foundational piece of the whole endowment of the gifts that we receive from the Lord. And your wickedness will chasten you. And that's what's happening. That's another way of talking about God's judgments. It will reprove you, your apostasy. People are leaving the church, they're apostatizing, and many are either just slowly drifting away, and they're drifting away, they'd like to just go away from it, and so nobody even knows that they were a part of it because it's not cool to be in the church right now in a way that it used to be. The culture doesn't accept it and embrace it like it used to, and the church is slowly becoming the enemy of the culture. And watch what happens. As the culture gets itself in more trouble, wars and economic disasters and political collapse, what's going to happen is they're going to have an enemy. They're going to look for an enemy, and the enemy's going to be the church. Mark my words, it's going to happen. And the Lord's going to allow it to happen because the church is going to be purified in the process. But our question, again, going back to Frodo Baggins or to Gandalf's word to Frodo Baggins, as I mentioned in the first program this week, which is, we all wish we weren't living at times like this, but as Gandalf said, we don't choose the time. We are allowed, and what we need to do is decide what are we going to do at the times we live in and what's given to us. And I love this passage from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and all the pastors who are listening, priests and others, and maybe even some of the bishops who like the program, I would say with all the reorganization of parishes and dioceses and everything that's going on, that's good, but be careful not to get distracted from what God really wants from us. And this describes it perfectly. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That, friends, is a promise. It's conditional on our response, but it is a promise from God. And the Lord wants this to be our gaze and this to be our passion, not just reorganizing and positioning. All that stuff is meant to help us more radically respond like this in our heart. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.